Well, today, I guess the title today of whatever we want to do here is simply one word, and that is worship. The kind of the theme verse, or the theme verse this morning, Hebrews 13, it says there, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So, my desire for us all today is that we could forget about the people around us, and that we could focus on Jesus Christ and on our Father in heaven and worship him. You know, worship, coming into God's presence, just worship and adoration to him can look, can have different postures. Sometimes it can be in total quietness. Sometimes it's in shouting. Sometimes it's singing. Sometimes it's praying. Sometimes it's clapping. You just never know. You can find all kinds of postures in the scriptures. You go through Psalms and go through David's life and lives in the New Testament. It's very inspiring. But the main thing is here today is we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I don't know what all that means, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but it's a very, very profound statement. And so what I would like you to do here is just take a moment here, turn to the person beside you or behind you, and just say these words, all right? Say, "I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to glorify God." Go ahead. Very good. You got that clear? Same thing for me. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to glorify the Lord. That's settled. All right? I want to take you very quickly here to 2 Chronicles. And I want you to picture with me this story. This is a story of Solomon, one of the jobs, the calling that God had for King Solomon was to build a temple. I'm sure you remember that. The story sort of starts in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. I'm not going to read much here, but I'm just going to tell you it a little bit. Solomon determined in his heart that he was going to build a house for God, a place where the people could gather to worship. So he had quite extravagant plans. The Bible says that he got together 70,000 men just to carry the stuff. They were kind of the day laborers. 70,000 men. Then he got another 80,000 men, and they worked in the quarries, getting out the stone and the gold and whatever they needed. So he had 70,000, 80,000, and then he appointed 3,600 men, 3,600 men, to be the bosses over everyone. Then Solomon sent a letter, or somehow a messenger or something. He sent a letter to Hiram, king of Tyre. And he said, "Hiram, you dealt very kindly with David, my father. When David, my father, wanted to build himself a house, you sent cedar trees for him to build. And now I'm just asking you if you would do the same for me, but I want to build a house for the Lord. And I want you to understand, Hiram, that the house I am about to build is very great. For our God is great. He is God above all gods. Really, King Hiram, it is totally impossible to build a house to contain our God. You know, not even the heavens and the heavens of heavens can contain Him. Who am I that I should build Him a house? Well, Hiram sent back a letter. And in this letter, he said several things, but one of the things he stated was, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel that made heaven and earth." And he told Solomon, he said, "I have a very incredibly skillful man here that I'm going to send your way." I mean, this guy is skillful. He's a goldsmith. He's a silversmith. He knows how to work with iron. He knows how to work with stone and wood. I'm going to send you this man. And he's going to have the knowledge and the skill that you need. I'm going to send him. Then I'm also going to cut all the cedar trees you need. And we're going to stick them in the sea and we're going to float them over to Joppa. Then you guys can pick them out of Joppa there and just get them up to Jerusalem. So it was an incredible deal. What a house it was. The Bible says the ceilings were made of fir trees and they were overlaid with gold. The beams, the posts, the walls, the doors, the cherubims, the wings of the cherubims, everything basically was overlaid in gold. There was two pillars, at least two pillars in this house, and they were 52 feet tall. The name of the one pillar was Jachin, the other one was Boaz, and basically it meant the name of the one was security, the name of the other was stability. Well, they built this magnificent place, and then Solomon brought the people together, and they started sacrificing. It says that they didn't even bother counting. There were so many animals they sacrificed there. The priests sanctified themselves. The singers dressed in white linen. They gathered together with their instruments, and then beside them they had 120 priests with trumpets. And they were there as one. It said the sound of them was as one sound. And they were praising and thanking the Lord. They lifted up their voices and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And the glory of the Lord filled the house. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is the beginning of Solomon's prayer. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. "Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that He would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee in a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David." And he goes on there and prays a beautiful prayer of dedication. Chapter 7, it says that when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Later on one night, God appeared to Solomon. And He told him this. He said, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, shall pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. If there is one thing that I could give my life for, it would be this. To have the people of God recognize and return to His presence. Sometimes people say, well, that sounds rather selfish. It's just all about you. No. Listen. In His presence comes revelation. And out of revelation comes action. Think with me in Acts 13, verse 2. It said there that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, send Barnabas and Saul out for the work whereunto I have called them. Jesus said, if you hear, that's revelation. If you hear what I'm saying to you, then go do. I have tried very often to do the action without the presence and the revelation, and I've gotten very tired of it. So the question this morning is how do we prepare? So we come into the presence of God, and you know, we say God's throne, He says He inhabits. This is His temple now, and that is true. Scripture says He inhabits the praises of His people. How is it that I prepare? Well, I was thinking about in the Old Testament again, and of course we read about Solomon. But when a righteous king, when a godly king or judge took the throne in Israel after a wicked king, what was something that basically he always did?
Destroy idols.
Destroy idols. Cleanse the temple. Tear down the high places. Gideon was a great example. That night he snuck out, he tore down the idol, and he cut down the grove. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I have been doing a lot of good things, but there's something I'm lacking. What is it? In that situation, Jesus said, sell that you have, tear down the idol, destroy the idol, which is the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So you got to deal with the first commandment first. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. For that young man, it was give to the poor. Jesus dealt with the two greatest commandments in His life. And that is the same thing, I believe, for us today. How do we prepare? Just a couple of verses here in Psalms. The psalmist talked a lot about preparation. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses out of Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Talks to us about preparation. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Beautiful, beautiful words. You know, I've said it here before, I'll say it again. We can come to Jesus just as we are, but we cannot come into the presence of God. We cannot come into the most holy place. We cannot come there just as we are. If we could, we would not need Jesus Christ. I also thought of that verse, I believe it's in Proverbs, that he who covers his sin shall not prosper. So this morning, I would like to take a moment here. And we're going to have some worship time today. We're going to focus on the Lord. But I want you to examine our lives together. Is there anything that needs to go to the cross? Does that mean that we need to be perfect to come to God? Absolutely not. But is there known sin in your life that is blocking you from God revealing Himself to you? What I would like to do here in a practical way, if we could just bow our heads, close our eyes, and I want to take a few moments here. We're going to sing just a couple of verses here of Just As I Am. And if you could all sing, but sing quietly. If there's a need in your life that there's something you just want to talk to God about, you need to repent of, you can do it right there where you're at. You can stop singing and pray. All right? If you want to come to the altar, that's always open. The altar is open all morning. All right? But let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord and let's make sure that nothing's blocking us. Just as I am without one plea, but at thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Strength and your power.
to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I want to kind of separate that verse into two aspects. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving, or thankfulness, it's our response to the acts and the works of God. What He has done for you, what He has done for me. Our response to that is thanksgiving. So let's just focus on that here a little bit. What I want to do here is, we'll sing a little chorus here with that verse, but then maybe God will give you a song of thanksgiving, either by memory or out of the book. I'm going to open it up for a selection or two. Something that God is just an outflow of your heart, a song that speaks to that of thankfulness to the Lord. So think about that.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Let's stand together.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Let's clap together.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Does someone have a song of thanksgiving? Yes, Robert. Amen. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Is that 992, maybe, in our book. One we used to sing at Selber. Oh, that one. All right. You want to open the windows. Very good, Robert. You know what? Let's sing 992 as well. We'll start with that, Robert, and then we'll go to...
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
O Heavenly Father and merciful Lord, we come to you now in one mind and accord. We are so sweet Spirit, Lord, let us be blessed. Open the windows
and pour out the blessing. Shower your power upon us, we pray. Send us the blessings we pray.
Lord, open the windows
of heaven today.
Amen. Another song of thanksgiving. Someone have one? This is a day, this is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice,
and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day. One more yet.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord,
for giving to me
my great salvation so rich and free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah.
Jesus set me free. Everyone stand together, and let's just everyone can pray their own prayer, but just pray a prayer of thankfulness to the Lord. What has He done for you? Take a moment and thank Him. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You have given me life. Amen, Lord. Thank you that you've given us life. Hallelujah. Abundant life. Jesus Christ.
Thank you to our goodness. Lord, you call us to serve your way in our choices.
You may be seated. kind of be standing up from time to time. I just want to be clear that you only stand if you feel able to do so. I understand, fathers, mothers, you have children on your laps. That's okay. You do exactly what you need to do there. All right? Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. I just want to say this morning, do not be satisfied just hanging out in the outer court. Enter in with praise. What is praise? Genuine praise. Let's listen to these words. Genuine praise is the overflow of a heart set on beholding the character, nature, ways, and personality of God. When we start to measure the plans of a defeated enemy and the circumstances of life beside the majesty of who our God really is, we begin to fortify a faith perspective. In other words, we begin to see from heaven's perspective. What is praise? Praise elevates your vision. Psalm 121, the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes, where? Unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Praise elevates our vision. My help comes from the Lord. I thought of Paul and Silas sitting there in jail. Their vision was elevated. Their circumstances were terrible. Their vision was elevated. They were seeing things from heaven's perspective. People came to Jesus Christ that night. Just think about that. And so it is well this morning that we take some time and declare who God really is. We must elevate our vision. So again, if you could stand with me, we're just going to pray this prayer. And I just ask you, you can speak it quietly, you can shout it out. But just pray after me. And we're just going to declare here who God really is. And let your spirit be aligned with truth today. Let's begin. God, you are almighty. You are a jealous God. You are self-existing. You are altogether love. God, you are the great I am. You are to be feared. You are magnificent. You are altogether holy. You are completely just. Your truth endures forever. God, you are sovereign. You are altogether good. You are altogether right. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your banner over me is love. Jesus Christ, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the perfect Lamb. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the complete sacrifice. You are the Good Shepherd. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Word. You are our healer. You are our salvation. Holy Spirit, you are the revealer today. I thank you that you are the Spirit of comfort. You are the Spirit of revelation. And I ask you to move in our hearts here and impress us. Amaze us with who God is. We lift our eyes unto the hills from whence comes our help. Our help is from the Lord. Let's just sing this together. We place you in the highest place. Men lead out, ladies echo. We place you in the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. You are beautiful beyond description, marvelous for word, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in all of you. I stand in all of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Amen. Let's turn to 105. If you need the words for Eternal Father. Eternal Father, when to thee beyond all worlds by faith I soar, before thy boundless majesty I stand.
Alone, all things create.
Behold the Lamb of God. Lift up your name, for your name is glorious. You are full of majesty. Lord, we are in all of you. Thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I would like if you would turn to your song sheets. Sing a couple of songs here about our Lord Jesus and what He means to us. Don't know how well you know these songs, but it's all right. We will believe they will bless your heart as you think about the words. Let's start with, Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me, my life,
my joy, my all.
He is my strength from day to day. Without
Him, I
would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's
my
friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to Him for blessings, and He gives
and more and more.
He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world
to me,
and true to Him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend when He's so true to me? Following Him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following Him by day and night, He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust Him now. I'll trust Him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life.
life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, He's my friend.
Amen. Is that your testimony today? Flip it over, it sings, "Since Jesus came into my heart." Oh, when our spirits become new, it's a wonderful change. Hallelujah. What a wonderful change in life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for as long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and go. Came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Verse 4. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy at all. Where'd I go since Jesus came into my heart? Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just wanted to say this. I'm not sure who quoted this phrase or made this phrase, but one of the saints of days gone before made this statement. Missions exist because worship doesn't. thought a lot about that statement over the last year or so, and I just wanted to encourage you with this, and just think about this. We all face these things from time to time, struggles, discouragement, depression, feeling offended, selfishness, pride, no direction for my life. We all face those things from time to time, right? Here's the truth. These things take up residency in my life when worship and adoration of the King is absent. Let's meditate on that one for a little. All right, we're going to sing a couple more songs here. Declaration, praise to the Lord. As we begin this new year, I begin it personally with a lot of expectancy. I hope you do the same. It is very thrilling to live on the edge sometimes. But it's exciting to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are secure in Him. And whatever we face, He is in control. So beautiful. And so as I look at these days, I'd like to turn to this, the other song sheet, the days of Elijah. In these days, let us declare the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, righteousness is being restored, righteousness of God. His kingdom ever increases. The increase of His government, there shall never be an end. We see many trials, we see famines and much darkness around us. But we are as the voice in the desert, crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let's stand together. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion Hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world, and we are laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of...
Declare it, my brother and sister.
Oh, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, let your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, lift your hands to Him. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.
Just bow your heads here, close your eyes. You know, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple split from top to bottom. And now we go, as it were, to that veil. With our hands, we separate that veil and we walk into the Holy of Holies. Into that great throne room. Into the very presence of the King. Scripture says that we can come boldly into His presence. We are all very needy. There are things we need to tell Him. There are things we need to ask Him. There are things we can declare. But let us come together there and worship Him. And adore Him. Alleluia. Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus, or in all of You simply be still? Will I stand in Your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or maybe not be able to speak at all? In the quietness of our hearts, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I ask You to speak to the deep recesses of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that in Your presence I know that You will reveal Your will for our lives. You will give us healing for the brokenness. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will heal the wounds. And this I ask You to do across this congregation, Lord. I ask you to restore those things that are broken down. I ask you to heal the broken relationships. I ask you, Father, to deal with the sin that maybe even we don't know about. I ask you to do beautiful things this year with my dear brothers and sisters and myself. I pray that in all things we would behold you and be amazed at the King of Glory. Father, I understand that we're here together in corporate worship. And I know, Lord, that corporate worship is really just an overflow of personal worship. I ask you, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, that you would do something in their personal worship times. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would know what it is to come into your presence alone. That, Father, when we come together, that everyone here would bring their candle. And that we could put those candles together and create a bonfire. Lord, that the fire of God would move among us and shake us and comfort us. That is my prayer for this year, for this congregation. Purify your bride, Lord Jesus. All right, I would like to sing another song here yet. If you flip to the other side of that paper. I had taught the youth this song, and now we'll see if we can sing it as a congregation. How shall we then live? Is the question. What I'd like to do, if you could turn in your songbooks to 639. This song on this song sheet is to the tune of Be Still My Soul. So what I would like to do is sing one verse of Be Still My Soul so you can kind of get it in your mind, and then we'll go to the song sheet. All right? Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Lead to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful remain. Be still my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Think about these words as you sing them. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardon, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges.
friendships demand, met, then I'll be there to care and follow through in unison. Your kingdom come around and through, and in me your power and glory let them shine through me. Parts your hallowed name, oh may I bear with honor, and may your living kingdom come in me. The bread of life, oh may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me.
Amen. Let's bow our heads here for closing prayer. First of all, here, just going to pray a prayer based on Psalm 23, and we'll dismiss. O Lord, you are my shepherd. You are a good shepherd, and with you as my shepherd, I lack nothing. You take me to green pastures. When I am in your pastures, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. I follow you to still waters. There you restore my soul. I thank you, Lord, for your green pastures. I thank you for the still waters. I thank you for your restoration work. I thank you for leading me on righteous paths. You do all of this to glorify your holy name. Even in dark valleys, even when death lurks all around me, even then I do not fear. Why? Because you, my shepherd, my father, my king, you are with me, and I am with you. Your rod of direction, your staff of comfort, keep me secure. When my enemies surround me, even then I feast at your table. You anoint me with the oil of healing. You anoint me with the oil of gladness. O Father, your goodness and mercy shall be with me all the days on this earth. And I remain in your presence forever. And Father, now I ask you for my dear brothers and sisters here in this congregation. That you would bless these people. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.